Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. The festive season has begun, so first and foremost, season's greetings to all of you. May this be the start of a wealthy and prosperous year for all of us. Well, on Money Money as well, we kickstart our festive series. And the first off the block has to be what else but the sparkling yellow metal that is pretty much the only thing that's put a bit of a smile on our faces when we look at our portfolios. Yes, I am talking about gold. It's been a phenomenal journey for the precious metal space overall. In terms of the Indian context, prices up 20% in a year when equities haven't really done well. The fixed income market has been in the doldrums. But the question is that now that gold has seen such a tremendous journey already, what should you be doing? Is there any sense in increasing your allocation? What determines that asset allocation? And more importantly, what are the best avenues that you can look at when it comes to investing in gold? Well, it's a very interesting conversation lined up. And my guests on the show today are financial planning expert Harsh Roongta. And we also have with us Mr. Surendra Mehta, the Secretary of the India Bullion and Jewelers Association. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining in.
Hello.
First of all, season's greetings to both of you. Happy Navratra to start off with. First things first, Mr. Mehta, I'm guessing, I don't know about slowdown in the rest of the economy and the rest of the country, but I'm guessing your fraternity is a fairly happy lot this year.
Definitely yes. As you rightly said, the price has moved by almost 22% in just last 7 or 8 months, I suppose. So definitely our fraternity is very happy. Only thing is that slowdown is hitting in terms of the sales, but in terms of the stock which a jeweler is holding or which a household are having, they have really gained about 20% in last 8 months.
Yeah. What about sales actually? You know, when you get that headline, gold prices in India cross 40,000 rupees, what does that do to demand? Have people reduced their jewelry purchases or even their physical investment purchases?
Let me put it this way. See, the price will never affect the demand for the jewelry. Even if it is 40,000 or 45,000, because there are, we normally categorize three types of buying. One is compulsive buying, which is a marriage buying. Another is comfort buying, which is a festival buying. And another is the buying for the investment. Of course, the investment buying has taken a back little bit, but the marriage buying and the festival buying will continue even if the price crosses 42,000.
You know, 1 year, I remember, I think we were having this conversation 1 year ago. Who would have thought, 20% in a matter of 12 months? Your thoughts?
See, I think like any other asset class, gold is a volatile asset class. Mm. I mean, we cannot equate it to fixed income securities. So clearly, like equities is volatile, maybe gold is less volatile than equities, but definitely gold is volatile. Therefore, if you are looking at investment, that investment needs to be systematic.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be self-correcting in the sense that if you decide that it should be 5 or 10% of your portfolio, if the prices go up, you need to sell something or buy something else so that it remains at 5% or 10%, whatever you have set for yourself. If it goes down, you ought to buy more. So I think it needs to be self-correcting as far as the investment demand is concerned. I mean, as far as consumption demand is concerned, I mean, you buy it when you need it or you accumulate it if you have a clear fixed
goal
requirement in mind.
Okay. So that's exactly the point that I wanted to come to, because it's very easy to get carried away. You know, when you see an asset class do so well, it'll make people suddenly wonder whether I should increase my allocation or, oh, I was only, you know, full equity or full, you know, full debt. I should have had gold. How do you decide that? You know, what is the thumb rule? Does age have something to do with it? I'm not talking about the gold-based requirement right now. I mean, I know that people were suddenly talking about, for instance, multi-asset class funds, because they have an element of gold. And why did that come back on the horizon? Because the asset class has done so well. So how to negotiate this?
So as I'm saying, any investment, why only gold? Any investment, whether it be equities, whether it be fixed income, or whether it is gold or real estate, anything, you need to plan for it in advance. So I don't think you should do investments that are not gold-based, right? even if, say, all your goals are met and a lot of your clients...
No, by goal-based, I meant that if there is no immediate event requirement, like a marriage, etc., because right. that's a separate sort of maybe planning. But for a regular portfolio, where there is no immediate event need, then how should you look at your asset allocation?
My point is that any portfolio mm-hmm. that you build mm-hmm. should be with an objective in mind. May not be immediate. It mm-hmm. might be 5 years, 10 years, 15 mm-hmm. years. And you build how much assets you have. That's the classical mm-hmm. way to build your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Then you give it balance. Mm-hmm. And in a balance, in India, I cannot imagine a portfolio that will not have 5 to 10% gold simply because yeah. it's a social need.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it's mm-hmm. one of the things that you plan for mm-hmm. Is your children's future. At least mm-hmm. in India, we do plan mm-hmm. for that.
So in terms of a percentage of your portfolio, is there a cap that you tell your clients that shouldn't don't go above this?
So I think if a client is very bullish on gold, it could be 10%.
Wow.
If a client is not very bullish, then it could be 5%. I mm-hmm. would never recommend mm-hmm. zero. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend very high, mm-hmm. Higher than 10%. Mm-hmm. The key, and that is why you are absolutely right, that multi-asset funds mm-hmm. have come back into vogue,
yeah.
which is basically because of the self-balancing nature.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Because when the gold prices rise, they mm. will have to sell mm. because mm. none of them actually maintain more than 10%.
Mm.
They are allowed to, but mm. they don't maintain more than 10. Mm. And when gold prices fall, they would have to purchase gold simply sure. because they have to maintain 10% regulatory. So mm-hmm. I think that's a lovely way to mm-hmm. take gold exposure.
Sure. Okay, so multi-asset funds is one of the routes. In fact, we'll be discussing the investment routes to gold in more detail in just a bit. But before that, let's try and predict the future, always the hardest thing to do. Mr. Mehta, your sense on this price surge, of course, it has a lot to do with the way international environment is playing out, slowdown, geopolitical risks, etc. But do you get the sense that these levels, these prices are sustainable?
Definitely. Let me take you back to 20 years back. The gold prices were about 4,250 mm-hmm. rupees in India. After 20 years, it is 42,000. So maybe what next after the next 20 years? Now take gold not as an immediate an asset which will have an immediate return, but it will give you a return maybe in next 10 years, 15 years or 20 years.
In fact, on the subject of pricing, let me bring in another expert. We have Naveen Mathur joining in from Anand Rathi, who tracks this market so closely. Naveen, thanks for taking this call. Welcome to Money, Money, Money. We are trying to help our viewers understand whether they should invest in gold for the next 1 year or not. Are you also expecting higher prices?
Particular risk-averse strategy has helped in favor of gold. And the risk-averse strategy comes in from the geopolitical tensions, the trade wars, the latest in the news of the crude oil bouncing up because of the conflict in Iran and the Saudi Arabia, Middle East particularly. So I think overall strategy remains still positive for bullion.
So Naveen, let me just ask you for this. I know predictions are always hard to do, but I'm talking about the next 1 year because we're looking at least a one-year call from a portfolio standpoint. How much further appreciation would you expect in Indian prices?
From here onwards, keeping the view of how the things are panning out globally, be it economic scenario, be it geopolitical tensions, be it trade wars, etc., I think the prices can move up to an extent of 10% or so from here, what we are seeing in India at around 38,000 rupees for the 10 grams. An individual can invest approximately 10% of the total cost, 10 to 15% of the total cost, onto the gold prices, onto the gold investments, be it the ETFs, be it the sovereign bonds or the physical stuff, whichever way they want to put in their portfolio in bullion, they should, but at least 10 to 15% should be in there.
Okay, Naveen, thanks very much. Now, Mr. Roongta, now that we've established, I think there's consensus on this panel that we need gold and prices are probably going to be firm. The question is the routes. You mentioned the multi-asset funds. That's one way of looking at it. But if you want to do dedicated investing, sovereign gold bonds, ETFs, gold funds, where does one begin?
So I think it will depend on the kind of investor. Mm-hmm. And I think the apart from the standard parameters of risk, return, liquidity,
mm-hmm.
One parameter which is specifically true in India that I would like to add is the convenience of investing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make it convenient for people to invest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important. And gold being an asset class that keeps going up and down, I would recommend a monthly SIP, just like you do a monthly SIP in an equity mutual fund,
mm-hmm.
you should do a monthly SIP to invest towards gold. Okay. And the only instrument that allows you to do it is a gold fund, a mutual okay. fund, not okay. an ETF.
Okay.
That allows you not just the ability to invest a fixed sum of money,
mm-hmm.
the liquidity is assured in the sense that you can go back to the fund house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, among the three, it is the most expensive.
Okay, so tell us about the costs as well.
So, I would have to look up the cost, mm-hmm. but if you look at the gold fund,
mm-hmm.
it would have a cost of its own.
Mm-hmm.
It in turn invests in an ETF of the same fund house.
Okay.
That ETF would have a cost of its own.
Uh-huh.
So, therefore, it is an expensive route. But my point is that convenience
mm-hmm.
and the ability to systematically invest.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are, say, thinking of accumulating 500 grams, which is roughly 15 lakhs,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm talking of a standard middle class investor, and you're planning to do that, say, over 15 years, I would still plump for a gold fund,
okay,
simply because it's so easy to set it up. And we know that inertial habits are the key to making good investments.
Sure.
I mean, the SIP movement has taken equity to great heights. I think the same SIP movement is needed in gold to the extent it is needed.
Uh-huh. Now, Mr. Mehta, I mean, yeah, traditionally we all like to touch and feel. That's the one asset class where we can do that. But, you know, if one is to look at a more serious, systematic, financial way of investing in gold, what would be your preferred route?
See, if it is a financial way of investing, mm-hmm. then I think sovereign gold bond is the best investment mm-hmm. as of now, because in all other types of investment, you pay GST. Even when you invest in gold ETF, they buy physical gold, so eventually you are ending up paying the GST.
How much?
3% is the GST.
Okay.
And even in the gold fund, as Mr. Roongta said, they in turn invest in gold ETF, so eventually there again in GST is a cost. But only in case of sovereign gold bond, GST is no cost.
Okay.
But the only problem with the sovereign gold bond, gold ETF and gold mutual fund is that, you know, my family cannot wear those. That's a problem.
But
that's,
I guess, that also brings in an element of discipline, that this is not that part of your gold requirement which immediately is, you know.
Surbhi, let me correct you here. We always talk of discipline. Tell me, where is the social security in our country? There is no social security. For a lady, what is a social security? In fact, the government has clearly identified gold as an stri dhan. In Hindi, it is called Stri Dhan. So, even the government identifies it. Government says that, no, you are permitted to hold 500 grams of gold. If you are a married lady, you are permitted to hold 250 grams of gold. If you are an unmarried girl,
That's a strong argument, especially for all the ladies out there, for sure. But just to come back to the gold bonds, we were talking about costs. So, GST is obviously the one big advantage. You don't have GST on gold bonds. Any sense of the expense ratios of some of these gold funds or even the gold ETFs, and what is the added cost of investing?
In case of gold bonds, mm-hmm. which are called sovereign gold bonds, you mm-hmm. get 2.5% interest.
Mm.
You get, if you invest it electronically, then you get 50 rupees discount per gram on investing in the gold bond. You get 1% commission, which is being given back to you. So in a way, it is a fantastic investment.
Okay.
So one should always look at, and there is no capital gain tax when it is redeemed on the maturity. Of course, if you redeem it before the maturity, then there is a capital gain tax.
Free of GST, free of capital gains tax upon maturity. And I think the maturity is what, 5 years, 8 years for these?
Maturity is between 5 to 8 years
for these gold bonds.
Yes.
So those are the two big advantages. Mr. Roongta, your thoughts on these bonds?
You cannot argue against the financial working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As I said, and there are now tranches of sovereign gold. I mean, there are issues that are happening almost
frequent.
Every month.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you can have the ability to invest in sovereign gold bonds,
mm-hmm.
by all means do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is definitely better than the gold funds.
So just on the point of tax, because that's really important, as Mr. Mehta told us, no capital gains tax once you redeem your bonds at the end of 5 years or 8 years. What happens in case of a gold fund?
Oh, you have to pay tax.
Oh.
You have to. So it is more expensive. Mm-hmm. I'm upfront telling you, it is more expensive.
And it would be how much? 20% the capital gains?
It will be, but after indexation. So you would get indexation. but okay. So 20%, so you can take 15%.
Okay.
It is definitely more expensive than investing in sovereign gold bonds.
Okay.
I am still touting it for middle class investors simply because I think the ability and the convenience overrides everything else.
I get that. Just a last question here. Any upfront entry barrier on gold bonds? I don't know if there is a minimum ticket size.
Minimum ticket size in case of gold bond is 1 gram.
Okay.
But there is another way of investing. Hmm. Even if like digital gold, in digital gold you can invest even 1 rupee.
Hmm.
So even if you have 1 rupee, you can just go and buy a digital gold.
What is digital gold?
Digital gold is it's an instrument wherein even if you have say 1 rupee or 2 rupees or 10 rupees, you just have to open an account with. There are very big companies.
Mm.
There are some of the companies where these are government owned companies also.
Mm-hmm.
They are running a scheme called digital gold. The only thing is that you can get your gold only when it is 1 gram. So,
okay.
So
give us some examples. Who are these companies who are running it? Is it government regulated?
MMTC PAMP is running.
There are other companies
like Safe Gold which are also running this instrument.
Okay.
So there are n number of companies which are running this instrument. One should look at the company profile and can invest money in there.
And tax implications?
Tax implication will be there in those things.
Okay.
But then you have there is no ticket size. 1 rupee you can invest.
So, gentlemen, now we've spoken about the investment routes. There are also a lot of people who are wondering, especially if there's a need coming up, if there's a marriage coming up, is this the best time to sell? What would your advice be to the category of people who want to monetize now, Mr. Roongta?
So, I think it is like, again, it's like any other asset monetization.
Mm-hmm.
You never do it at one shot. Like, even if you want to dispose of your equity to use it for the goal, you don't wait till the goal comes.
Mm.
You have started slowly doing it, okay?
Mm.
So, but if you have physical gold and you want to monetize it and use that money for something else, okay, then probably you have no choice, because to monetize physical gold bit by bit is pretty difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's what you would have to do.
Mm.
I think one thing that most people forget, especially the ladies, is that every time you exchange gold for something else, there is a tax implication. Okay, when you exchange one piece of jewelry for another piece of jewelry, there is capital gains tax
to
pay.
No one sort of remembers this.
I don't think anybody even obsesses about it or thinks about it. But clearly, when one piece of jewelry goes in and another piece of jewelry comes out, or cash comes out, whatever way you do it, there is capital gains tax to pay. And now, in the current scenario where most people have their jewelry recorded and on their books, I think this is something people should remember.
Discuss it with your CAs, the simple statement that we can make out here. But when it comes to monetization, and prices are so high, so people might be looking at monetizing, what are the avenues, Mr. Mehta, and how do you rate this gold monetization scheme? Was launched with much fanfare, was supposed to channelize the ideal gold sitting in Indian households, but I don't know where it's gone, really.
Tell me which lady would like to surrender her gold to the government. It will not happen. It does not happen. Unless, there are some incentives given, the scheme will not work. And the government will have to involve the jewelers. At presently, this entire scheme is run by the banks. And banks cannot run this scheme, because a lady will never go to a bank. She would prefer to go to a jeweler. And as Mr. Roongta said, yes, there is a capital gain tax on exchange of gold, but there is no capital gain tax on conversion of your old jewelry to a new jewelry. When you convert your jewelry, when you exchange jewelry, yes, you. A lady should go to a jeweler and say, "You melt this jewelry
and make
new jewelry for me." So don't exchange it. You say, just convert this jewelry and there is no capital gain tax.
Okay, that's an important takeaway.
That's an important.
That's something to keep in mind. But anyway, talk about some of these things. I mean, make sure that you do your homework and discuss the tax implication in case you're looking at selling your jewelry or even converting it. But just back to the final question on monetization. GMS, do you think it makes sense? If not, then what do you do? Best thing is to go to your jeweler and sell your gold?
So, I mean, GMS makes a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we forget, I take Mr. Mehta's point about a household not wanting to give away their jewelry. Mm-hmm. What about the tons of gold lying with our temple trusts? Nobody has an emotional attachment to that gold. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. It's something for the government to, I think through. We have come to the end of this very, very interesting and animated conversation. I want to ask both of you gentlemen for one final tip. For the next 1 year, as the new Sambat kicks off, if you were to give people one tip to, you know, how to invest in gold, whether to invest in gold, what would that be?
So gold should be part of your portfolio, not for 1 year, for a long period. Do it systematically.
Okay. Mr. Mehta?
First, physical gold. Excess money, go for gold bond. More excess money, go for digital gold.
Okay. So there you have it. To each his own. You can make up your own mind. Our entire endeavor is to get you all the thoughts and the ideas which are prevailing out there. Gentlemen, thank you very much for this very enriching conversation. We hope to see you again and wish you a very prosperous festive season as well. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's SurabhiUpadhyay. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.